Good morning. Welcome to worship. Special welcome to any of you visiting here for the first time. We're glad you're here. Please know that the church building is open. There are restrooms available. If you go to my left, be your right, I suppose, all the way down to the lower level, there's a door down there that's unlocked, and there's some restrooms and hand sanitizing equipment, all that they're available should you need those. And you haven't received one already, there are bulletins with the radio frequency 87.9 if you want to stay in your cars or need to retreat to them for any reason. You can still hear the service. Please note that Sunday school normally would be starting this week. We're postponing that for a few weeks. We plan, the target date is the first Sunday of October. I believe that's October 4th that we plan to restart Sunday school in some form. The details are still being worked out with that and confirmation class. So please keep yours posted. Check on Facebook, and we'll let you know what's happening. Today, we're very happy to welcome Pastor David Viem, who's president of Lutheran Brethren Seminary, and he's here for the installation of Eric Reese, our new associate pastor. So welcome, Pastor Viem, and look forward to hearing the word as you preach it today. There are the regular Bible studies this week as printed in your bulletin. And are there any further announcements that should be made? All right. Very well. Then let's begin our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship is from Psalm 103, verses 1 to 6. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion. Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for the oppressed. Let us pray. O Lord, this is the day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us be glad in you, our Maker and our Redeemer. May the praises that are sung be pleasing in your ears. May the word that is preached strengthen and create faith in our hearts. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join us in singing Crown Him with Many Crowns. Stand if you are able and join us in singing together.
Yeah.
Thank you. You may be seated. Please note in your bulletins are four verses, but we just sing the first three verses of this next song. You may be seated. Please join us in singing the first three verses of Before the Throne of God Above.
Let us confess our sins and hear the words of forgiveness. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, Increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us. And for His sake, forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them His Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. Please join me in confessing our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed on your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite forward Pastor Viam and Pastor Eric and our deacons for the installation of Pastor Eric Reese as our associate pastor of Stavanger Lutheran Church.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry. Let us hear what the Scriptures say about the office of pastor.
I'll be reading Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading in Jesus' name. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To Him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Warren. Those are some serious admonitions from the Apostle Peter, Eric.
Yeah.
And now I have 10 questions for you that show us just how serious this calling really is. Eric Reese, do you believe that the Bible is the Word of God and is therefore the final authoritative guide for faith and conduct?
I do.
Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ?
I do.
Do you love God's children?
I do.
Are you willing to the extent that God gives grace to work for the purity, edification, peace, and growth of the Church of Jesus Christ?
I am, yes.
Do you find that the statement of faith of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren is in harmony with the Word of God?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe, teach, and confess this statement of faith?
I do.
Do you accept and will you work in harmony with the constitutions of the Church of the Lutheran Brethren and this congregation?
Yes.
As far as you know your heart, our desire to serve God and a desire to see people come to know Jesus Christ and to grow in Him, the motives which have led you to accept this call?
Yes.
Paul wrote, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God which He bought with His own blood. Will you, by the power of God's grace, live a holy life, properly care for your family, and by faithfulness, diligence, and love, do the work of the pastor?"
Yes, by His grace.
Do you promise to preach the word and to administer the sacraments as the word of God prescribes, and to do so for the glory of God, the salvation of lost people, and the edification of the church, which is the body of Christ?
Yes.
Now I have a question for the congregation. Do you members of Stavanger Church stand by your pastoral call previously extended to Eric Reese? If so, answer yes. Will you at this time, and as long as he will serve faithfully among you, receive him joyfully? Share all good things with him who is to instruct you in the word. Show him Christian respect and obedience, and encourage him in the Lord. If so, answer yes.
Yes.
And Eric, do you stand by your decision to accept this call from Stavanger Lutheran Church to serve as one of their pastors? If so, answer yes.
Yes.
Eric Reese, I hereby install you in the office of pastor of Stavanger Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May a rich measure of God's grace, guidance, and power be with you, your wife and family, and the congregation as you work together for the extension of His kingdom in this community. Now we would like to pray for you.
Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you that you call us to yourself to be your own, and that you also call from among us those to serve you in the office of pastor, the ministry of word and sacrament, for the advancement of your kingdom, for the edification and growth of your church, of your people. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Eric and Gianna and Emma to us as a part of Stavanger Lutheran Church, for Eric to serve among us as a pastor, a fellow co-shepherd of the flock, of your flock. We pray your blessing on his ministry, pray your blessing upon them as a family during their time here and to wherever, Lord, you call them from here one day. Thank you for this day and for all your gifts to us. We pray your rich blessing upon Pastor Eric and his family and the continuing ministry of Stavanger Lutheran Church. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Eric, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you in all the days of your ministry. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are the God who is sovereign over heaven and earth. Lord, we thank you for giving us a beautiful day to meet outside. We pray for those believers who are not able to meet together this day as they normally would, Lord, as they would wish to. We pray your encouragement for them during these difficult days. And we pray, Lord, you would help us to be mindful not only of fellow believers around us, Lord, but those who don't know you yet. Lord, during these times, may you help us see our neighbor and see their need and how we might give a cold cup of water in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, for those among us who mourn the loss of loved ones, who face sickness and injury. We pray for healing and for encouragement, for comfort and strength, and for provision for all their needs during their trials, Lord. We pray for our local and state and nation's leaders as they discharge their duties, Lord, for the good of the public. We pray you would help them, guide them, protect them, grant them wisdom and all they need. We pray, Lord, you would bring healing to our nation as we see so much division and so much destruction, whether from unrest among people, whether wildfires, storms. Lord, again, help us to give thanks for all your blessings to us and to share those blessings with those in need. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word today, that we might hear from you. We thank you for Pastor VM and for the ministry of Lutheran Brethren Seminary and all who teach and serve there. May you bless that ministry to continue its mission of equipping servants to proclaim your word near and far. These things, Lord, we lift up in the name of you, Jesus, and we pray together as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Bia.
Well, it is a great privilege to be at Stavanger today for this celebratory event of installing Pastor Reese, but also to preach God's word. I just love driving to this side of Fergus. We live on the flat side, and this looks much more like home where I came from in a farming community in western Wisconsin. In fact, I can remember one evening I was driving, we were driving out east. I was alone with one of my elders, and we began to come into the hills, and I just said, "Oh, this is beautiful." And this is the kind of country that I was familiar with growing up on a farm in Wisconsin. So it's just a blessing to be here, but even a greater blessing to share God's word with you. On this day of Pastor Reese's installation, I'd like to read an Old Testament lesson from Isaiah chapter 6, often referred to as the call of Isaiah the prophet, and it reads in Jesus' name. Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined and without inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its power. We thank you for your Holy Spirit who has given it to us and brought it to us. And today was here to speak into the recesses of our hearts in those deepest places in order to convict us of sin and to preach the gospel to us, to empower us to go and serve. So we trust you and your Holy Spirit to do this again this morning. I pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do you know what a posthill digger is? That's a question that I like to ask persons who are considering going to seminary, especially if the question is there because they question taking the time and spending the money to actually prepare for ministry. I have yet to meet someone who doesn't know what a posthill digger is, even on Long Island in New York. Here's the point. And I tell them, maybe you don't have time or money to go to seminary. But you know, you can dig a posthole with a spade, but you got to move a lot of dirt. It is so much better when you have the right tools. I don't know, Pastor Eric, if I've ever asked you that question. I can't imagine that I haven't. But I'm sure there are people here who will gladly show you what a posthole digger is and let you try it out. Ministry is never easy, but it's so helpful to have the right tools. But Eric, you are getting the right ministry tools, but you'll soon discover that tools alone, the right tools, are insufficient to make you ready for ministry. You can have studied the text thoroughly for hours and know what this text says, and then sit in front of a blank screen for what seems just as long a time. Tools alone don't make you ready for ministry. In another case, in June, I reconnected with a young man who had been serious about ministry at one time. Only after he graduated from college, he took a job as a journalist, which was his area of training, and we lost touch. Then last June, I happened to be preaching one Sunday in his home congregation, and he had come home to visit his parents. And so we were talking about this former sense of call after the service. And he said this. What scares me about ministry is this. I know that I have the natural gifts to preach and teach and lead. But I also know that's not enough. How true. He was so right. Personality, speaking, teaching, and leading gifts, even academic preparation, they're insufficient to make you ready for ministry. That's what Isaiah the prophet discovered as he records it here in Isaiah 6. He was highly educated. He's considered one of the most skilled writers of all of the Old Testament. He was a person of privilege. He had access to the royal court. He may even have been a court preacher, a person of position. Life was good. At that time, King Uzziah, someone he had ready access to, King Uzziah had restored political power to Judah. He had built a large, well-equipped army. He had expanded Judah's borders. The name Uzziah was famous through much of the known world. It was a time of peace and prosperity. Isaiah was a beneficiary of it all. Life was good. Then Uzziah died. Suddenly, Isaiah's association with this powerful ruler meant nothing. It's as though the rug was pulled out from under him. All of his academic preparation, his well-developed natural abilities, and his place of privilege were insufficient for ministry. And that's just when God intervened. Isaiah had this vision, and so he begins, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord." God was about to get him ready for ministry. According to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, Isaiah was not just overwhelmed by the sight of divine holiness and power. John tells us Isaiah saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. And the glory that's described in that chapter in John is the glory of Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross. And so in a prophetic vision, John sees the future of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. He sees the glory of the humiliated, crucified Jesus Christ, now resurrected and glorified. The glory of the crucified filled the temple. The glory of the crucified made the seraphs. Their name means burning because they were holy. It made these seraphs cover their faces because they were too humble to actually look upon him, the crucified one. And they sang, "Holy, holy, holy." That's the vision that made Isaiah ready for ministry. When he saw the cross. When he saw the cross. And it's the same for you, Eric, and for all of us. The cross is what readies us for ministry. Pastor Eric, the cross readies you for ministry. How does it do that? Well, the cross works repentance. When Isaiah saw the glory of the crucified Christ, he had one reaction. "I am a man of unclean lips." No doubt he is contrasting the humble praise of the seraphs with his own feeble worship. A worship that lacked repentance, because worship without repentance is no worship at all. When he sees what his sin will do to the Christ, he responds, "Woe to me." The literal meaning is something like, "I am destroyed." We would say, "I'm a dead man." Isaiah's sin put Jesus on the cross. Back in my pastoral days, I was meeting with a couple who were preparing for marriage. In one meeting, I asked them how they had come to believe in Jesus Christ. One of them told me about moving to this area when she was an eighth grader and not being very happy about it. Then that summer, she attended Inspiration Point. And during the Christ hike, the mini passion play staged one night each week, they were getting towards the crucifixion, and they put the person playing Jesus and Pilate up on the platform above the crowd by the entrance to the dining hall. Pilate asks the crowd, "What then shall I do with Jesus?" And the crowd just begins to shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And Heather said, "Suddenly I realized that I was part of the crowd, that I had crucified Jesus with my sins." That's why the group sang, "I was guilty with nothing to say, and they were coming to take me away, when a voice from heaven was heard that said, 'Let him go and take me instead.' Oh, I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. I should have hung on the cross in disgrace. But Jesus, God's Son, took my place." Pastor Eric, we cannot create our own repentance or even a feeling of repentance. Even so, before you preach, before you visit, before you bring communion, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to see Jesus Christ crucified for your sin. The cross works repentance. Of course, repentance alone doesn't prepare you for ministry. But then the cross brings cleansing. Notice what happens next. Without any request on Isaiah's part, without any reason for it or his deserving it, one of the seraphs took a burning coal from the altar and touched Isaiah's mouth. And with it came the announcement, "Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." The word guilt here is a very strong word. It means to twist, or something that is twisted. Some of the older translations use the word iniquity. We should hear in that word all of the ways that we twist God's rules to our liking. The way we bend God's ways to fit our desires. The way we become twisted ourselves in our thinking and actions. But it says your guilt is taken away. Could a burning coal have such power? Power is not in the burning coal. But it's because the coal came from the altar. The altar of sacrifice. The altar where the Lamb, capital L, Lamb, was slain. Like the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the power is not in the bread and wine, but it's in the word spoken and promised. This is the blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. I want to grab something here, show you just a little prop we used back in confirmation class to help students understand and hopefully believe that their sin was really completely taken away. Just a moment. We would give them just a piece of paper, small piece of paper, and ask them to write on it one of their sins, or just the words, "I am a sinner," and sign it. And then they were given a hammer and a nail to nail it to the cross. And we would lay the cross on a large piece of white tagboard, and then take a can of spray paint and spray over the cross. And as we did that, we'd talk about that Jesus shed his blood, that his blood cleanses from all sin, and we would spray the cross completely. And once I asked a student if they would want to do the spraying, and they did, and they found their piece of paper and sprayed red inside of it. But then when the paint was dry, we'd take the cross off of the tagboard, and this is what they would see. Just the cross silhouetted in red. And only white in that silhouette. All the sins were gone. That's what it means to say your guilt is taken away. All the sins are gone. God now looks on us in Christ as though we've never sinned. Can you believe that? Can you believe that the God who is holy, 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 the God whom seraphs could not look upon, that this God could look on you as being without sin? Well, notice what happens next. It may be the most amazing moment of all in this story, as the Lord readies Isaiah and now us for ministry. In the next act in this story, we discover that the cross not only works repentance and brings cleansing, but that the cross creates faith, even bold faith. After the repentance and the cleansing, God asks a question, who will go for us? And how can I say I will go when even after cleansing, the reality of our ability to sin against God can hold us back? But notice how Isaiah responds. Here am I. At least that's the way it's translated. But the little literal words are, look at me. Look at me. Remember, when he was convicted, when he saw that his sin put Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross, he cried, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the glory of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross in my place. The one who wanted to hide but had no place to hide now says, look at me. Do you see that? What the forgiveness of sins has done, the removal of all of his sin in God's presence has done, now the one who was terrified because of his sin boldly says, look at me. I noticed as we were singing, verse 2 of Before the Throne of God Above, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. That's what we mean. So the one who had no place to hide says, look at me. God, if you're looking for someone to preach this law and this gospel, someone that has just been convicted and then set free, look at me. That's the faith the cross brings. We stand unafraid in his presence. Nothing of our past, nothing of our present prevents us from volunteering to serve in ministry. And that isn't meant just for Pastor Eric. That's meant for each one of you. All of your sin is forgiven. All of your sin and guilt is atoned for. You are right in God's sight by faith. One Sunday morning, several years ago, I was sitting in the front pew waiting to get up to preach. It was one of those Sundays when I felt empty and unworthy. And as the congregation was singing, I was praying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. God graciously answered my prayer in that moment. The Holy Spirit reminded me of a drawing I had seen in a Christian magazine several years ago. It was just the sketch of a young man dressed in rags. And Jesus is standing behind him, putting this beautiful robe on him. That robe of his righteousness, of his holiness, his purity. I've been reminded of that image many, many times before preaching or walking into a hospital room or into a funeral planning session. Sometimes it's when I feel so inadequate. Sometimes it's when I'm full of confidence in myself. You know what I'm talking about? We can go to the pulpit. We can go to that visit with a shut-in with bold faith because we are clothed in Christ's righteousness. In fact, I was thinking about it driving out here. You know, in some ways, we who stand here are almost required to have the boldest faith of all. It's one thing to believe the forgiveness of sins. It's still another to say, boldly, all your sins are forgiven because Jesus died for you. Clothed in Christ's righteousness, now, Pastor Eric, you are ready for ministry. Will it be easy? No. The last verses of this chapter remind us that some will be defiant. Some will resist the word. Some hearts will be hardened. But still we preach and serve, repentant, cleansed, and by faith. So, Pastor Eric, go boldly to your calling. Preach repentance. I have to say this. You live among a people of unclean lips too. Preach repentance. But preach cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses away all their sin. And preach bold faith. You listeners too can say, as Isaiah the prophet said, and as Pastor Eric is saying today, look at me. Look at me. Send me to serve. Send me to bring the grace and love of Jesus Christ in ministry, in my church, and to my neighbor. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in your word and speaking to our hearts. Thank you that you are in each of our hearts to convict of sin and to bring cleansing and create faith. And I pray now that you will richly bless the ministry of Pastor Eric as he serves here, and richly bless the ministry of Stavanger Church as their steeple and the cross on top points to you and points all of those who drive by. Here, come. Come and hear the gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Viem. Good news indeed. Let us sing together our closing chorus, Go Now in Peace. Benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son.